Good evening and welcome to another edition of Football Extra Points on RF Sports Radio. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm your host, Scott King, creator of footballextrapoints.com, part of the Yard Barker Network. Tonight's show, we're going to be continuing our conversation about the NFL's offseason. I think today would be classified as the day of the quarterback in the offseason, so got a lot to talk about there. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call in anytime. The number is 323-927-2906. And we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it this evening. A lot of moves today and in the last week regarding the quarterback position. Just want to recap those. Some of the big news from today. Matt Flynn, former Packers quarterback, former Seahawks quarterback, was traded today to the Oakland Raiders. So that's a big move there at the top of the draft for the Raiders. They've been struggling with their quarterback situation now for about 10 years, ever since they had Rich Gannon. So they've now traded for Matt Flynn. They still have Carson Palmer on the roster. They still have Trell Pryor on the roster. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do there. I actually like Matt Flynn. I think he has the ability to play quarterback in the league. Unfortunately, I think Oakland is a bit of a literally a black hole for talent these days, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do. But that moves him down there to Oakland, puts Palmer on the market. You know, word is that he's going to be going to Arizona to take care of their quarterback situation. The Cardinals released John Skelton today. So we've got a lot of these moving pieces and parts moving around, affecting the top end of the draft. Last week we had Kevin Cobb going to the Bills, take care of their draft or their quarterback situation, and they're sitting there at the seventh slot. Or I'm sorry, the Bills are at the eighth slot. The Cardinals are at the seventh slot. We've got Colt McCoy today traded to the 49ers. I think that's a good move for the 49ers and for Colt McCoy. I actually like Colt McCoy as a quarterback. I think he's got enough talent to be a mid-level to slightly below mid-level starter in the league. I think going to San Francisco is going to give him a chance to learn under Jim Harbaugh. I got the Harbaugh boys mixed up. But learn under Jim, who proved with Alex Smith that he can develop a quarterback. So I think that's good for him. And it's hard to say, you know, Kaepernick running that offense that he runs, Colt may get an opportunity to play. And then we had Jason Campbell signed last week with the Browns to kind of fill their backup role and put Colt on the market. So that's a lot of activity for the quarterbacks. You've got guys shifting around, guys moving around. What does all that mean for the rest of the league? Well, if you look at the top end of the draft, Arizona and Buffalo had absolute, urgent, glaring quarterback needs. Buffalo went out and signed Cobb. We'll see what he can do. He looked good in Philadelphia in a backup role. Wasn't able to get it done in Arizona. Now he goes out to Buffalo. You know, can he resurrect his career there? For Arizona, we're going to go ahead and just assume at this point that Palmer is going to land there. So that kind of leaves Geno Smith out in the cold, even possibly a Matt Barkley, some of these other guys you've heard their names floating around. And that really says a lot to me that these guys just don't have the talent to be a first-round top-end quarterback. You know, if the league was convinced Geno Smith was a can't-miss prospect, he'd be drafted in the top end of the round. And you've got Oakland at 3, Kansas City at 1, Oakland at 3, Cleveland at 6, Arizona at 7, Buffalo at 8, all making moves in their quarterback situation to make sure that they've got it covered and not going the way of the draft to get their quarterback. And I think that's huge. I think that's you know, not a very positive sign there for Geno Smith. So we'll see where he lands. And then you've got other teams out there, especially at the top end of the quarterback, who, in my mind, still have question marks at the quarterback position. You've got Jacksonville at two. Blaine Gabbert, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. Didn't see him as one coming out of Missouri. Not sold on him. You've got Philadelphia. You know, what are they going to do? They've got Michael Vick there in sort of a lame duck situation. You got Nick Foles, who was Andy Reid's guy, who's now there. What can he do? What can he do in Chip Kelly's offense? Let's see who else we have. The New York Jets at nine. I mean, their quarterback situation is just a complete joke. Jake Locker and Tennessee at 10. You know, Jake Locker's shown some flashes. Not really sold on him coming out of Washington, so we'll see where he ends up. You got Ryan Tannehill at 12, Miami. Some question marks still on his development. You know, as you go down this list, there's so many places with question marks. You know, I look down at the bottom half of the draft there, Minnesota. Christian Ponder looked good last year at times, but he had Adrian Peterson at quarterback and Percy Harvin at wide receiver. Well, Harvin's gone. They did pick up Greg Jennings. You know, what can Adrian Peterson do again this year? Can he continue on this kind of streak? It's, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to know what's going to happen with him. So there's, you know, there's a lot going on in the draft and in the league with quarterbacks. And, you know, we'll just have to see what we say. So, looks like we've got a caller on the line who wants to join the conversation about quarterbacks. Hello there.
This is Corey, or Scott.
Hey. Yeah, hey, Corey.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Great, how's it going?
Not too bad. You know, I'm a Vikings fan. I'm not worried about Ponder at all. I get that he had Adrian Peterson, and he doesn't have to work that hard. He might have to work harder in this coming year based on, you know, an article I wrote earlier about the new helmet rule. We're going to see how that plays out. But when you look at Ponder's statistics, yeah, he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, but ultimately, if you look at the statistics, Drew Brees and Tony Romo led the league in interceptions. As far as completion percentage goes, he was ahead of Eli Manning, Stafford, Joe Flacco, Cutler, Sam Bradford. If you take quarterback rating into account, he was ahead of Roethlisberger, RG3, Cutler, Russell Wilson, Michael Vick. He's serviceable for the Vikings, and there's nobody out there. We're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to get Tom Brady. So what else are the Vikings supposed to do?
Right. Yeah, especially with this draft this season. You know, I was just going through kind of the top end of the draft and what quarterbacks are out there, and you've got the Tony Romo just signed this extension with Dallas. Seems like it's sort of a seems like it's a weak quarterback situation in the league, and yeah, if it's not Christian Ponder, who's it going to be? You know, Jason
right.
Campbell, Geno Smith.
Well, we signed Matt Castle, but he had the one good year at New England, and then once he went to Kansas City, just dropped off. So I think he's a serviceable backup for sure. I did like Joe Webb, but that he was horrible in the playoff game. So,
yeah.
So I mean, maybe they switched Joe Webb over to a receiver, which is what he was in college. So, but, you know, without the knock on Christian Ponder, I just don't see it. I think that he's a top 15 quarterback when you look at all the other quarterbacks in the league who you mentioned in your opening monologue. Gabbert. You know.
Yeah, there's definitely some poor quarterback play. I mean, you go through. I made it through about half the league there, but you know, Miami, Tampa. I lost his name down there in Tampa, but he's you know kind of in that same middle of the road situation. You know, Bradford. I'm not sold on him. He's not. You know, playing extremely well, the league needs to get some young quarterbacks. I mean, Andrew Luck and RG3 and Russell Wilson, that's great. But you know, you look at Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, they're on the back half of their careers, on their way out.
Peyton, you know, there's
definitely a kind of a middle of the road just average quarterbacks where, yeah, once you get, you know, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, you don't get too far down the list before it's everybody's all in a big group. Like you're saying, is it, you know, Ponder, Tannehill, Cam Newton, Bradford,
Alex,
you know, is there
Smith.
Really that much space in between these guys? Yeah, Alex Smith, Kevin Cobb. I mean, there's some
and
terrible quarterback play
advantage.
In the league.
Excuse me. Ponder has the advantage of having Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, and even Toby Gerhart is a serviceable backup to Adrian Peterson. So
yeah,
he doesn't
Gerhart's
have to
a good
be
one,
that great.
Yep. Well, and it's you know there's nobody in the draft this year to go take. So the Vikings can ride out this year with Ponder, see what they get out of him, and what the draft you know holds in the next year. It's not like they're pressed to make a move this season. There's not even an option for them.
Well,
so you think?
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, what do you think about changing the exchange of Harvin for Jennings? They're different players for sure, different types of receivers, at least in my mind. You think the addition of Jennings is going to help Ponder's development?
Oh yeah, yeah, I do. Wow, that's a tough one. Percy Harvin, he was so dimensional as far as returning kicks, punts. I think Jennings is going to help. You know, it kills me to have another Packer on the team. But I think... There were so many downsides to Harvin. He barely practiced because of the migraines. Is constantly injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
So, for what he wanted in terms of monetary value, I'll take Greg Jennings any day. There were also reports that the Vikings offered Mike Wallace more money than what the Dolphins eventually paid him. But when you get right down to it, Wallace signed a $60 million contract with the Dolphins, and the Vikings picked up Jennings for $47 million, less guaranteed money. I believe that Jennings is the overall better player.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think he's more reliable. Like you're not only with the injuries, but you know, when you send Jennings out in the pattern, I think you're at least I have more confidence he's going to come down with the ball than Harvin.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of Vikings fans that won't agree with me, but we can pick up Randy Moss for dirt cheap. He still owns a house in Minnesota.
Right.
So 1 year left. And then we're obviously going to draft probably Keenan Allen or the guy from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name right
Tavon
now.
Austin.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin. Yep. Yeah, there's definitely some wide receivers to be had, you know, in those two slots down there at about 23, 25. You can pick up wide receiver, some defense. And looking at the Vikings, you know, depth chart right here, I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets with Rudolph and Carlson and Jennings there, and whoever they pick up in the draft with Peterson in the backfield, I think that's going to be, their set for the season.
Right.
Would be my guess.
I really think that Rudolph is going to separate himself this year. Unbelievable hands. Unbelievable. So I think that Kyle Rudolph's going to help Ponder's development probably more than anybody else that he can throw to.
Mm-hmm.
So that remains to be seen, but from what I've seen in his first 2 years, I think that's great with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Patriots are showing what you can do with solid tight end play and how that helps the quarterback out.
Absolutely, and I think that trend's going to spread throughout the league as well.
Yeah. Yep, so, definitely a copycat league for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Corey's work for those listening is available on the website, footballextrapoints.com. Do you want to give everybody your Twitter handle so they can follow you and follow your take?
Y2Cason. That's the letter Y, the number 2, CASON.
All right. Well, appreciate the call and look forward to for everybody to follow your work on the site.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks, Corey. All right, well, that was Corey Cason, one of our staff writers at Football Extra Points, and just talking about the quarterback situation around the league as he covers the Vikings for us and feels like the Vikings are set for now with Ponder. You know, he didn't use the word game manager, but, you know, he's one that needs to take care of the ball, get it out, play action with Adrian Peterson. You can pretty much do whenever you want. It's a given. We've got some tight ends in there to make the plays. But, you know, once you get out of that upper echelon, I wrote some articles earlier in the offseason about Tim Tebow even, and everybody has an opinion on him. But I just think watching him play, that you can do. There's so many quarterbacks that started games this past season that I think Tim Tebow could get on the field somewhere. So if you're sitting in Minnesota, Tampa, St. Louis, you've got some of these middle of the road quarterbacks. Where are you going to go? I mean, Oakland's traded for a guy that was a backup who had a lot of potential coming out of Green Bay. So he signed with Seattle, got replaced by a third round rookie quarterback. We'll see what happens there. And, just to kind of close out the quarterback conversation, Tony Romo signed the big controversial contract, $55 million guaranteed. I think it topped at 106 or 108, which in the NFL doesn't really mean anything. It's all pretend money outside of the guaranteed. I think everybody had an initial reaction, the same one I did, which was, what are the Cowboys doing? Why are they signing Tony Romo to this monster contract? And, you know, there's a couple of things that the Cowboys have going on. One is their cap strap, one of the worst in the league. They had to do something to free up some cap space, so they had to rework Romo's deal. Did they have to pay him this much money? Definitely, I don't think so. But just like the Ponder conversation or the Tannehill conversation, or some of these other ones, where are they going to go? You know, they could have ridden it out another year and maybe gotten somebody in the draft. But this isn't the first time the Cowboys have overpaid. I think, you know, as a Lions fan, I look back at when they traded for Roy Williams and the Lions unloaded him off their books. And I think the week they made the trade, or 2 days after they made the trade, they signed him to a $54 million contract extension. And I know every Lions fan I knew was just rolling on the floor laughing, because Roy Williams had not proven himself at all as a wide receiver in my mind. And for the Cowboys to trade for him and then make that huge signing extension was just crazy. And I don't know about the Tony Romo deal. It's a lot of money to tie up into that guy. Yeah, he hasn't won a playoff game. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Are they going to trade for Matt Flynn? Are they going to bring on Jason Campbell? Are they going to get a Carson Palmer? You know, Tony Romo, again, for me, is in that middle-of-the-road quarterback situation. You know, once you get out of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, some of these guys, you know, where are you going to go? Who's you're in that middle 20 of the league with just guys that play quarterback. Tannehill, Alex Smith, Cam Newton. You know, Roethlisberger's up towards the back end of that kind of top end situation. Eli's at the back end of that top situation. You know, Jay Cutler. I don't think I'd take Jay Cutler over Tony Romo. Yeah, Cutler's got this big, huge arm, and you know, everybody talks about that, but I think he's got a bad attitude, and when things start going bad, it's almost like he forces the ball and just ends up making it a whole lot worse than it is. So, you know, we'll see. I think the Cowboys are a lightning rod. Everybody's gonna pick apart what they're doing. I think they, you know, could have maybe restructured and tried next year to give him an extension, but they decided to hitch the wagon to him. They have a lot of other problems they need to deal with. They've got offensive line problems. They've got defensive problems. So it's not on all Romo when they don't win the games, but they need to get him some help. And I touched on that in one of my articles. You know, they've got to do something to help him out. And if they don't, they're not going to go anywhere. Right now, with their draft situation, I've got them, you know, they're right there at 18. I've got them taking a guard, Jonathan Cooper, if he's still around at that point in the draft. You've also got some defensive help there. Alec Ogletree is in that neighborhood. Ezekiel Elliott is kind of moving up quickly, so I don't know if he's going to be in that neighborhood. So, you know, we'll see where they end up in the draft. So, so interesting. You know, we've got all this quarterback stuff going on, and it's just interesting as the league's trying to move all this stuff through and see what's going on there. So, you know, it's interesting time in the league. A couple other free agent moves and some free agents that are hanging out there. O.C. Umanure to the Falcons. I think that's an outstanding signing for the Falcons. One of their glaring weaknesses as their team that could prevent them from going to the Super Bowl was defensive end, rushing the quarterback. I think they've got one of the premier guys. He's going to get after the quarterback. They're going to cut him loose and send him after the quarterback. So I think that's great. Another guy in that mold that's still on the market, Dwight Freeney. You know, he had a lot of good years in Indianapolis. He's a defensive end. They tried him at this 3-4 outside linebacker, but that just didn't work. And, you know, as a Lions fan myself, I would love to see him in Detroit. Detroit needs some defensive end help. They need some players. He can step right in and play defensive end for them. So I think that's a great fit for him. So, you know, we'll see. We're down to these kind of last trailer defensive or free agents around the league. You've got these veteran guys or guys with injuries that are just kind of floating around and trying to land on a spot. And I think somebody like Dwight is probably going to wait till after the draft, see what's available and go land somewhere. Somebody may end up signing him, but I mean, at this point, he's going to pick his exact right spot. And I think Detroit's the exact spot. The Lions could go defensive end there at number 5 in the draft. You've got Ezekiel Ansah sitting out there, people like to talk about. You've got Deion Jordan sitting out there, people like to talk about. You also got Bjorn Werner sitting out there that people like to talk about. So some options there, but we'll see. We'll see where we go. So you're listening to Football Extra Points on RF Sports Radio. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break and then come back on the other side, continue our conversation on the draft. We've got Chris with the Draft Insider getting ready to come on here on the other side of the break and talk about his mock draft and where we're going for the draft. So we'll go ahead and step away for a minute, and we'll be back on the other side.
Left in the game. It's not the number of times I will light you up. Nah, 9.8 isn't any of those. It's ounces. And that makes this the lightest ever.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
Our job is to make you better, to make all athletes better. One great innovation at a time. Great athletic innovation isn't available just yet, but it's being built at Under Armour right now. I will.
All right, welcome back to Football Extra Points on RF Sports Radio. I'm your host, Scott King. You're listening to us talk about the NFL this evening. So if you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 323-927-2906. I've been talking about the quarterback moves this week and today, especially with Romo signing and Matt Flynn moving around. You've got Jason Campbell moving around, Colt McCoy moving around. So a lot going on there. Also some free agent stuff. So we're going to be diving into the draft a little more in detail here in a few minutes. We've got Chris with Draft Insider coming on and going to share his latest mock draft. Everybody that's putting these mock drafts together are really scrambling, I think, today to kind of reassess and shift things around. see some people that had Oakland there at the top taking a quarterback. I think at this point, with them picking up Flynn, they're going to move on from the quarterback situation and try to figure something else out. Philly's kind of a wild card. We'll have to talk to Chris about that, you know, see where they're going at the quarterback situation, what Jacksonville's doing. I mean, you look at these, let's just take a look at the top 10 since we're talking about the draft and quarterbacks and where these teams are at. So starting at the top of the draft, Kansas City Chiefs, terrible quarterback situation last year. The Matt Castle experiment was over. That's a team with some talent. They've got Jamaal Charles in the backfield, Dwayne Bowe, got some talent on defense, and Moyaki there at tight end. When he can stay healthy, he's a solid player, and they just weren't able to get it done. Bad quarterback play there at the top of the draft. Jacksonville, a little bit more of a talentless team than Kansas City. Still, they don't have their quarterback situation figured out there at the top of the draft. You know, what are they going to do with this Blaine Gabbert situation? Oakland at number 3. Carson Palmer, not the answer. I actually thought they were going to go the Terrell Pryor route. He looked pretty good in their last game of the season. Athletic quarterback, got some baggage, immaturity issues. But again, another team with a bad quarterback situation at the top of the draft. Philly, number 4. They had their quarterback, they thought, figured out in Vic. Injuries and underperformance and Foles not panning out put them at the top of the draft. Detroit, that's the first team we get to that has their quarterback situation figured out here at the top end of the draft. Stafford is a solid franchise, top 10 quarterback, putting up some big numbers. There's a team with a lot of other holes, offensive line, running back, defense, put them at the top of the draft. Cleveland, number 6. Top of the draft there. Brandon Whedon, not the answer quarterback. Didn't think he was coming out of Oklahoma. You know, these guys that go and play baseball and then come back don't really pan out at quarterback. You had Chris Winkie, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, back for Florida State. Didn't really pan out either. So you got the Browns at the top of the draft. Cardinals, just a revolving door at quarterback. Could never get anything figured out. You know, really just a terrible quarterback situation there at the top of the draft as well. Buffalo, they thought they had Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were a team that I actually had in the playoffs last year. They've got some talent. They've got running back talent. They've got some wide receiver talent. But Fitzpatrick just didn't pan out. They gave him a monster contract, and then poof, he's out the door. And number 9, the Jets. I mean, you know, what can you say? Sanchez, Tebow, they just can't figure out their quarterback situation. That's put them at the top. And then number 10, Tennessee, you know, where are they at in their quarterback situation? Is Locker the answer? They had Hasselback. He was really, you know, showed some veteran skills there from time to time, but just overall don't have their quarterback situation figured out. So, you know, in a day when we're talking about all this quarterback movement, you look at the top end of the draft, and there's exactly why these teams are up there. And the common theme is bad quarterback play. The other thing that we talked about earlier in the show, which is highlighted here, is all these teams making moves, plugging their quarterback hole situation because they don't want to take Geno Smith. Now, you've got Kansas City, Oakland, Cleveland, Arizona, and Buffalo, all in the top 8. Even the Jets, you can throw in the Jets with the signing of Garrard. All these teams have made moves to solve their quarterback situation before the draft. So what does that say about these guys coming out? I mean, you've got Geno Smith is supposed to be the best guy in the draft at the quarterback position. Matt Barkley, a year ago, was, you know, going to be one of those top first-round draft picks. He's fallen off the face of the earth. Mike Glennon out of North Carolina State, Ryan Nassib out of Syracuse. You know, the NFL is just not sold on these guys, or they'd be doing something with them. I mean, you got guys like E.J. Manuel from Florida State. He's getting some talk, but he just falls into that sort of athletic option quarterback. So this is just a really weak year for the quarterback position. So be interested to see where Chris thinks guys are going to go in the draft at the quarterback position. So we'll just have to wait and see. So you're listening to Football Extra Points here on RF Sports Radio, and we're just going through the off season and getting ready for the draft. We have a draft night special on the night of the first round, April 25th, starting at 8 p.m. We're going to be covering the draft live, so make sure you tune in for that. Here on RF Sports Radio, we'll be discussing the draft picks, announcing the picks as they happen, how the needs fit the teams. And really, we're going to be waiting for that one big shocker. You know, where's the reach, the Hayward Bay to Oakland at 3 from a few years back? You know, what are teams going to do that'll get our attention? So it's always exciting. The NFL's moved to this multi-night primetime format. So it really makes the draft an event. And I know for me, it's pretty exciting. So we'll look forward to that. You know, and as we get there, the free agency has kind of died down. So we've got, you know, a solid 3 to 4 weeks where it's just going to be breaking down these pro days. Now that we've got all those in the books, there's going to be some individual workouts going on and, you know, just kind of cruising to that draft night. And the coverage that we'll have there. I personally, from the TV side, have moved to the NFL Network. I really like how they, Rich Eisen and Mike Mayock, put together their draft coverage. You know, like everybody, when ESPN was the only one that had it, I used to watch them. But just from a personal standpoint, I've moved over to the NFL Network as far as the TV side of things go. And I like to watch them and their breakdown of it. So it'll be an exciting time. Lots of activity for teams. A lot of people will be excited about where their team's heading. So I really look forward to that. But we'll continue to kind of look through the quarterback situation here in the league. I broke down the top 10 teams in the draft and where they are quarterback wise. You know, starting at 11, you got Phillip Rivers, you know, out there in San Diego, talented quarterback, showing flashes, but he's getting to the point in his career where you start to wonder, you know, is he going to be able to take his team, deep into the playoffs? Do you have enough talent around him, or is he getting to that point in his career where things are going to start trailing off for him? And then, you know, he's going to end up just having a solid career, but never really going anywhere. Number 12 in the draft, we've got the Miami Dolphins. Their quarterback situation, they seem to be pretty happy with Ryan Tannehill. Think it's still an open question, and we'll have to see, you know, where they go this year, how his development is. I think the signing of Wallace really helps them out and gives them an opportunity to give him a pretty solid target. So we'll have to see where Miami goes this next year in his development and how that works out for him. The next one is Tampa. You know, they've got the new quarterback, or the new coach came in last year, gave him a lot of, discipline and really helped him out there. And now you've got Josh Freeman, who's continuing to grow. He was pretty high, you know, praise for him as a rising star, and struggled a little bit last year. At 14, we've got Cam Newton right up the street here from me. Struggled a little bit last year as a sophomore. I think people really forgot, you know, last year everyone was talking how RG3 and Russell Wilson were just changing the game, and no one's seen anything like him ever in 20 years in the league or whatever. I guess people have a really short memory because Cam Newton just came in and tore up the league his rookie year 2 years ago. He's bigger, and stronger than either one of those guys, and was really on pace to have a great first couple of years. Took a step back last year, so we'll have to see what they can do. Carolina has probably the worst cap situation in the league and have done absolutely nothing to help him out. So I think that's going to be a struggle for them. New Orleans, obviously, they're solid at their quarterback situation. Drew Brees is one of the best in the business. And as we get down to this sort of second half of the draft, you've got these teams, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Giants, Bears, Bengals, Packers, Houston, Denver, New England, Atlanta, San Fran, Baltimore. They all have their quarterback situation straight. So no surprise there that they're at the back half of the draft. And in this league, if you've got your quarterback situation straight, then you're in good shape. All right, well, it looks like we have Chris from Draft Insider on the line. And good evening, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Great. No problem. Just been kind of talking about the whole offseason tonight and focused in on the quarterback situation with all these guys moving around and Flynn to Oakland and Cobb to Buffalo, and now it sounds like Palmer to Arizona. And a little earlier in the show, I went through the top 10 teams in the draft and pointed out the fact that almost all of them have question marks at the quarterback position, and how that's not a coincidence that they're at the top end of the draft. But at the same time, they've all moved to do something to address the quarterback position right now in free agency and not in the draft, with the exception of a few teams, Jacksonville, Philly, and the Jets. And just wanted to get your thoughts on the quarterback situation in the draft this year, and then touch on your latest mock draft and go through kind of the top 10 you've got right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, before we move on with that, Adam Schefter tweeted that there's a deal in place for the Browns that sent Colt McCoy to the 49ers so he can back up Colin Kaepernick, which I thought was a pretty interesting move. Personally, Colt McCoy has a decent skill set that he can bring to the Niners and be a pretty good backup quarterback there, so I wanted to mention that as well.
Yep, definitely. And Jason Campbell, I think late last week, signed there with the Browns, so looks like they're going to go with Whedon and Campbell and their quarterback situation.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this draft, I mean, you can easily say that six or seven of the top 10 teams picking in the top 10 have quarterback concerns. The Jaguars certainly have a concern with Blaine Gabbert not really panning out as a quarterback at the next level. The Raiders obviously have just acquired Matt Flynn, but Matt Flynn really hasn't proven himself as a guy that can be the long-term answer. I think that, you know, he's a guy that's worth a shot, and that's why they traded for him. But when you look at the Raiders, the Jaguars, the Eagles aren't certainly set at quarterback. I mean, Michael Vick is nearing the end of his rope as far as what he can do as a starting quarterback in the NFL. The Browns obviously have always had concerns, but I think that they are, like you said, going to go into next season with Brandon Whedon as their quarterback, and the Arizona Cardinals, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets. And you can even make a case for the Tennessee Titans that Jake Locker hasn't really, you know, kind of sprung himself as a legitimate starting quarterback. I think that he needs a little bit more time. But I think, yeah, absolutely. There's six or seven teams in the top 10 that, you know, you could literally say that they could definitely go for a new quarterback heading into next season. So it's a pretty interesting thing to look at when you're looking at this draft. I don't think you're going to see more than two, maybe three quarterbacks go in the first round. I think, you know, after Geno Smith, who I certainly think will go first as, you know, the first quarterback taken, not first overall. But then I think E.J. Manuel could slip in the first round. And Matt Barkley. I think Matt Barkley could also find himself being taken in the first round. One team that I think could surprise everybody, just like they did 2 years ago, is the Minnesota Vikings. I think they do have Christian Ponder and Matt Castle, but I think when you look at the Vikings, if they can get a guy like E.J. Manuel or Matt Barkley in the first round there with one of those two picks, I think that it's going to be hard for them to pass up on, because I honestly don't think that they're set with Christian Ponder, and I don't think Matt Castle wows anybody there.
Yeah, Castle definitely, I think, for me at least, prove that the New England Patriots have an outstanding system for their quarterback. Brady, not to take anything away from Tom Brady, obviously, but you know, the fact that Castle stepped in and performed so well, I think, is more of a attribute to the team and the system that they run in New England than any kind of skill set that Matt Castle has at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think there's, and I think a multitude of quarterbacks could have done what Matt Castle did in New England. So, again, not to take anything away from Tom Brady, he's in a different league, but than Matt Castle. But I think there's at least 10 quarterbacks, like, you know, in the league right now that are backups that could have did what Matt Castle did.
Yep. Well, one thing I wanted to touch on tonight is your latest mock draft, and not sure if you want to start from the top down or go from 10 down to 1, but just taking a look at it here now, if you want to go through that, and we can talk about some of these picks.
Yeah, at first overall with the Chiefs, I have them taking Luke Jokel, the offensive tackle from Texas A&M. I think that I've had him as my best player available for quite some time now. I think that he gives them a lot of stability at that left tackle position. I think when you draft him, you're going to play him at right tackle for at least next year because you have Brandon Albert on that franchise tag. You're paying him a lot of money, and you're going to play him on the left tackle to protect your quarterback, which is Alex Smith. So I think that's a solid pick. I think he gives you a better long-term solution than Brandon Albert. I think Brandon Albert's no longer going to be with the Chiefs after this season. He already didn't show up to the voluntary workouts today, albeit it is voluntary. It doesn't look too good when he doesn't show up to them, especially being a veteran. Second overall, I have Geno Smith, the quarterback from West Virginia, going to the Jaguars. I've talked to a lot of Jaguars beat writers on Twitter. You know, they really like Geno Smith. You know, from the guys that I've talked to, they like Geno Smith. They think that he has a swagger and a skill set that, you know, the Jaguars are really looking for. They didn't get out of Blaine Gabbert. And, you know, Geno Smith is a guy that is obviously the best quarterback available in this draft. You know, he's a versatile quarterback. He can run. He doesn't like to, but he certainly can run. So he gives them that option to run, you know, that read option type offense, that spread option type offense. So that, you know, that gives them the versatility there at second overall. Excuse me. The Raiders, I have them taking Sheldon Richardson, who is my personal number one defensive tackle on this draft. I know a lot of people are in love with Sharif Floyd. I'm not as high on Sharif Floyd as a lot of other people, just like I'm not as high on Tank Carradine as a lot of other people that cover the draft. I think Richardson can play and in a 3-4 or D tackle in a 4-3. He's one of the most athletic defensive linemen I've ever scouted, and I think that he's a great pick there at 3. The Eagles, I struggle with this pick. I had them, I think I crossed out 5 different names at this pick at 4th overall, but I ended up with them taking Eric Fisher from Central Michigan. I think Fisher is right there 1A, 1B with Luke Jokel. Fisher is extremely good in the run game, and he's a great pass blocker as well. But I think that, you know, with Jason Peters coming off that Achilles injury, I think that they need to solidify that left tackle position, especially with what they've gone through with Michael Vick. You can say Michael Vick is a reason for a lot of their turnovers, but you can't say he's the reason for all of them. You know, I think that offensive line is a big problem there in Philadelphia, and they need to solidify that if they want to move the ball down the field. Fifth overall,
do you think – just to jump in there real quick, do you think the Eagles at 4 are in the market for a quarterback, or do you think they're going to go more the top end of the second round and see who's still floating around there?
Well, I've talked to a few people that cover the Eagles. I actually live in Pennsylvania, not too far from Philadelphia myself, and I've talked to a couple guys that work at the Philadelphia radio station, cover the Eagles. They like, from what they're hearing, the Eagles like E.J. Manuel. Chip Kelly loves E.J. Manuel. He thinks he's a great player. He thinks he can fit his system. I don't think you're going to take E.J. Manuel at 4th overall. If the Eagles really want E.J. Manuel, I think maybe they trade back out of 4, maybe get themselves another pick, you know, later in the draft, you know, to stockpile some picks. And maybe you take E.J. Manuel in the middle late first round. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened at all. I do think they are in the market for a quarterback. I don't think Nick Foles – I think what they would like to do is trade Nick Foles for a pick, possibly second or third round, which I think second round is a stretch for Nick Foles, in my opinion. But I think if they're going to take a guy like E.J. Manuel, they're going to want to push themselves back in the draft to get some more picks because, you know, you're not going to want to take a guy like E.J. Manuel for his overall.
Right.
And then fifth overall, I have the Lions, your Lions, taking Ziggy Ansah. Now, this was really hard for me because I have a lot of concerns about Ansah. He hasn't played a lot of football. He doesn't have the production as much as he has the potential. But I think that if there's two teams in the top 10, if they're going to reach on a guy with a lot of potential, it's going to be Jim Schwartz and it's going to be Rex Ryan. And I have them taking two guys that have a lot more potential than they have production. And I think that Ansah is a great pick. He's got great size. He showed a lot of production in the Senior Bowl, but that's only 1 week. There's guys that have shown production over 3-4 years that Ansa hasn't shown. It's a huge risk, but I think if it pays off, Jim Schwartz doesn't look like a genius taking Ansa up 5th overall.
Yeah, I'm very I've seen him jumping up the draft boards, and the Lions have a lot of holes to fill. You know, on both sides of the ball, they've got offensive line issues. They've got some, I don't know how, but they still have wide receiver issues, defensive end, and the defensive backfield. So they've got so many holes to fill. They need starters all over the field. I'm not sold on Riley Reiff as a left tackle. Just concerns me a little bit. I think he's probably more like a right tackle. So, if Eric Fisher were to slide back there to number 5, I'd rather see him take him. But I agree with you. This, you know, Ziggy has got this great ceiling, and everybody's excited and wants him to be the next Jason Pierre-Paul. But you know, I just can't handle another Mike Williams or something in Detroit where the guy just flames out.
Yeah, the thing about Ansa is the one thing that makes it comfortable for the Lions is they coached him at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, they know what type of player they're getting on draft day when they take him and he holds up that Lions jersey. They know exactly, you know, what they've worked with and what, you know, how they can mold him. And the thing about guys like Ansa and Mingo, and especially a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson, is you're getting a ball of clay that you can essentially mold into whatever it is you want them to be. You know, when you get a guy like Manti Te'o, you're pretty much getting who he's going to be for the next 10 years. So I think it is a high risk, but again, you know, sometimes with high risk, there comes high reward. And I'll just finish up the next couple picks here. The Browns, I have taking D. Milner from Alabama. I think that if they were to take a guy like Milner to pair with Joe Hayden, they already have a good front seven. I think that they would literally put themselves in contention to be one of the top 5-10 defenses in the NFL next season. The Cardinals, there's talk that they're looking at a quarterback in the first round, but I'll tell you this right now, before they even think about getting a quarterback, they need to solidify that offensive line, because that offensive line is nothing short of putrid and embarrassing. So they need to get themselves an offensive lineman. I have them taking Lane Johnson from Oklahoma. I think he'd be a great fit for them. I think he's athletic enough to play the left tackle position. I think that he'd be a really good value there at 7. The Bills, I have them taking a raw product in Cordarrelle Patterson. Stevie Johnson has been clamoring for the Bills to bring in a lot of playmakers to help him out. And I think Patterson is one of the most raw playmakers and natural playmakers in this draft, and I think that would be a great value for them at 8. At 9, I have the Jets taking Barkevius Mingo, the outside linebacker from LSU. I think they do need to add some more defenders that they lost and released a lot of veteran defenders this year. They need to get younger on defense. And Mingo provides a lot of spark and potential for them at that outside linebacker position. And then finally, 10th overall, I have the Titans taking Chance Warmack, who, in my opinion, is the best guard available and probably the best overall lineman available. He's right there neck and neck with Luke Jokel for me. He can play the left or right guard. And if you pair him with Andy LaVitre, I think you solidified the inside of your offensive line for at least the next 5 years.
Yeah, the Titans definitely need to do something there to clean things up. Because I watched, I had Chris Johnson in my fantasy league last year and watched a lot of Titans games, and they just weren't even trying to run the ball. Their offensive line just wasn't able to open holes and help them out at all. So, that's a great look there at the top 10. So come draft night, which one of these teams or what's a name that, you know, if somebody makes a move, you're just going to be shocked. So let's say, you know, is it Jacksonville at 2 going Matt Barkley instead of Geno Smith? What's kind of your, best guess at something crazy off the wall happening here in about 3 weeks?
That's a tough question. I think when you look at the top 10, there's so many pieces that can move around. I think if there was one thing that would shock me, and with this draft and this draft class, it really wouldn't shock me at the end of the day. But a team like the Raiders or the Eagles, I think if they were to jump up to number 1 and then give the Chiefs a couple picks to move to that spot to take Geno Smith, I think that would be a little bit of a surprise. Because obviously you don't expect the Chiefs to take Geno Smith because they just traded for Alex. I think that would be a little bit of a surprise. Maybe even a team like the Buffalo Bills or the Cleveland Browns were to move up. You know, one of those teams in the top 10, you know, are going to try and get a quarterback. And I think that at this point, with so much of the smoke coming out of Jacksonville with Geno Smith, I think that you're going to have to jump to number one. If the smoke starts to turn to fire, you're going to have to jump to number one and get yourself that quarterback that you want. And I think if a team like the Raiders or the Eagles were to move up, I think that would be a little bit of a shocker to me.
Mm-hmm. And if Matt Barkley's name's called in the first 10 picks here, what's the most likely landing spot, do you think? Or is that even not even?
There's nothing that would surprise me in this draft. I mean, we saw Christian Ponder go 11th overall. 12th overall a couple years ago. I saw Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert went a lot higher than I had expected him going into the draft. I think he was extremely overvalued and overhyped, and obviously that turned out to be true, as he had done nothing in the NFL worth noting. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, Matt Barkley, the thing about Matt Barkley is he gets hammered for what happened at USC last year. You got to remember, USC had one of the worst defenses in the Pac-12, and people seem to forget that because a lot of it happened. A lot of people want to remember the fact that Barkley passed on the NFL to come back for a senior season. So I think Matt Barkley to the Cardinals wouldn't be a surprise. Matt Barkley to the Bills or even the Jets wouldn't be a surprise. But, I think that if you want a guy like Matt Barkley, I think you can get him outside the top 10. Unless a desperate team and one of those last three or four picks in the top 10 really wants him, I think they're just going to take him.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate the call, Chris. Your website and Twitter handle, if you want to hand those out so everybody can follow you as we get closer to the draft.
Yeah, you can head over to read all of our draft information, our prospect profiles, our rankings, our big board over at www.withthefirstpick.com, and you can always follow us on Twitter at Draft Insider.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate the call. Chris, thanks for joining us tonight.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Have a good night.
Yep, you too. All right, that was Chris from Draft Insider. He's been able to join us tonight, last few shows, and just a great take on the draft. Must follow on Twitter and a must read on his site there. So anybody that's interested in the draft and where their teams are heading, it's definitely a must follow and get his take. So tonight's show has really been themed about the quarterback, and with all the moves and everything. So we really kind of focused in on the quarterback position, and that's what drives the NFL now. So, it's kind of fitting with all the activity going on. For the extra point this week, I wanted to touch on, big shocker, another quarterback situation, and that's just to go back and touch on this Tony Romo contract, the $55 million guaranteed. I think 108 overall was the number quoted, but 106, 108, that number doesn't really mean anything. What I thought was interesting and something I just wrote a little bit about on the site was the Justin Verlander, Detroit Tigers baseball contract, $180 million guaranteed, was announced right around the same time, if not the same day, as the Romo contract. And, right there in those two contracts, you can contrast the two leagues. You've got baseball, top pitcher, MVP, best player in the game by far there for the Tigers. And he gets $180 million fully guaranteed contract, which is what baseball does. There's no salary cap, so they can just write these contracts for whatever they want. So Justin Verlander is locked in for $180 million, period. Romo, on the other hand, they quote these $106 million numbers. In reality, he's going to make $55 million off this contract. It's structured in a way to ease the Cowboys' hit on the salary cap. Romo's not, obviously not the best player in the game, the best quarterback in the game. If we sit down and rank him, he's probably going to land maybe number 10, maybe a little bit higher. But, you can compare these two contracts side by side, and baseball's just got money to burn. And this contract's an example of why, baseball has this upside down situation with teams with tons and tons of money. And then I've heard numbers, I think it was the Astros' total salary cap this year is like $20 million or something absurd. And, some of these other teams in baseball have contracts, two or three players with bigger contracts than that. So just a way to look at the contracts, it was interesting to me that these two contracts came out at the same time. You know, good for Tony Romo. Personally, he made the money. You know, Cowboys probably overpaid, could have waited a year, but needed to restructure, and there's nobody out there, so not a big shock. So great show for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Corey, Football Extra Points staff writer, for calling in. Make sure you check out his work on the draft, and Chris with Draft Insider for calling in and giving his take. Don't forget about the live draft show, April 25th, 8 p.m., right here on R Sports Radio. We're going to be breaking it down as we go. And we'll be back next week talking about all things NFL and getting ready for the draft. So thanks for calling in. Have a great night.